series on the Bible, and it's called the B series. Some of his Abraham, I think the Genesis is be faithful. Some of them in the New Testament are be sanctified. Every book of the Bible is a B, so they call it the B series by Warren Wiersbe. His commentary on Leviticus is be holy, and we'll see the emphasis on that as we look at Leviticus tonight. But I asked Lewis to lead us in that song, Take Time to Be Holy, because I read this in Warren Wiersbe's commentary, and I just thought it was humorous. He's sitting on the platform, and the preacher said, turn to page 335, and let's sing Take Time to Be Holy. Let's sing just the first and the fourth verse. And he said, had I not been sitting on the platform, if I'd have been out there, I would have laughed. You don't have time to sing all four verses, but you think you have time to be holy. If you can't sing 4 minutes of one song, how are you going to be holy in your life? Because you can't rush holiness. You can't make it fit a schedule. And so that's what we're looking at tonight, the book of Leviticus. And we're going to see that that is the emphasis as we get down to the key verses here later in the outline. But look with me, if you would. The book of Leviticus, the third book in the Bible, is also the third book of Moses. You remember Genesis was the first book of Moses, Exodus the second. Now Leviticus is the third book of Moses, and it is one of the most, I left this blank, hard to read books of the Bible, one of the most tedious books of the Bible, one of the most, do we dare say it, boring books of the Bible. Many people have gotten blown out of the water when they got to Leviticus. They start their Bible reading in January and say, I'm going to read through the Bible. And they get through Genesis and it's all good and you're learning stuff. And it's it. You get to Exodus and the coming out of Egypt and the Passover and all that stuff. And then you get to Leviticus and it's like, why am I reading this? And why in the world is this stuff in the Bible? Well, I want you to fill in the blank tonight. The book of Moses, the book called Leviticus, is one of the most important books in all the Bible. One of the most important books in all the Bible. And I hope that by the time we're done tonight, you will see the value of it, you will agree to that, and the next time you get to Leviticus, you won't be, oh no. You'll say, I know what I'm getting into and why I'm getting into it, and it will encourage you as you go through the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is a continuation of the story that's already been started in Genesis, continued in Exodus, and now in Leviticus, it's going to take us to the next chapter. To the next part of this book. I'm skipping ahead to the bottom of this paragraph, but notice the first word in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1 is the word and. That tells us that what is happening in chapter 1 is a continuation of what happened in Exodus chapter 40. 25 of the 27 chapters in Leviticus begin with the word and. That's telling us, much like our study of Revelation on Sunday nights, that what we're looking at is a continuous series of events. It's not events in the book of Leviticus because it's God speaking, but it's a continuing introduction of instructions and ceremonies and different things, again, that we'll look at. God is building upon what has already been established. The word and is very key to let us know that he's continuing building upon Genesis and Exodus. Now we'll see that here. Genesis showed us man ruined. Genesis showed us man ruined. Created in the Garden of Eden, created in God's image, created perfect, and yet the fall. As Eve took of the forbidden fruit, handed it to Adam, and Adam willingly took of it and ate. And all of mankind was plunged into sin, and from that chapter on, it's death, it's murder, it's corruption. By chapter 6, you realize in chapter 3 they fall. By chapter 6, the thoughts of man's imagination was only evil continually, and God repented himself. That happened in less than 3 chapters, because that's man's ruin. And then all through the book of Genesis, we read about the deceit of Jacob. We read about the lying of Abraham. We read about good people who still have bad qualities that were ingrained in them because of the fall in the Garden of Eden. So Genesis showed us man ruined. Exodus showed us man redeemed. Exodus showed us man redeemed. God called his people out of Egypt. He sent them a Savior in the like of Moses. to lead them and deliver them from the bondage that they were in. So the picture is being set. Man ruined, yet, thankfully, man redeemed. That's true of history as far as Genesis and Exodus are concerned. It's true of history as far as we are concerned. We were ruined by the fall, but redeemed by the Son of God. Now Leviticus picks up where Genesis and Exodus leaves us off. We go from man ruined and man redeemed to Leviticus showing us man revived. Man revived. Now man can have fellowship with God. Now man can have communication with God. Genesis showed us the destruction that comes from the fall. Exodus shows us the punishment for that sin in 400 years of bondage, but then God's deliverance to bring them out. The end of Exodus, they're building the tabernacle with all the different pieces of furniture that are involved in that, all representing something, a picture, a foreshadowing of Christ and redemption. And then in the book of Leviticus, we find out now how man can have fellowship with God, how man can walk with God. That's what we're reading about when we read Leviticus. That after the ruin and after the redemption, now we can have revival. We can pray. We can go to church. We can do these things. Yes, this is spelled out in the book of Leviticus. The word Leviticus means referring to the descendants of Levi. All right, you see the first four words of Leviticus, Levi. The book of Leviticus is basically showing us the ceremonial law to whom the children of Levi were entrusted. You remember that of the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So the 12 sons of Israel, which were the 12 tribes, the tribe of Levi got no inheritance in the promised land. The Lord was their inheritance. They were the ones that did the ceremonies in the temple. Aaron and his sons, the sons of Levi, were the ones that did the service in the temple. You remember that Saul at one time later on in history tried to take upon himself making a sacrifice to God, and he got rebuked by Samuel the prophet. Did I say the right people? Saul tried to make the sacrifice. Got rebuked by Samuel because he wasn't a descendant of Levi. He had no business making that sacrifice. The tribe of Levi was entrusted in the keeping of the law and protecting of the law. So the book of Leviticus is simply called that because it's showing us that they're the ones that are going to be responsible for keeping all these ceremonies, all these feasts, all these sin offerings, all these offerings we're going to read about in Leviticus that sometimes get so tedious. The tribe of Levi is responsible for making sure that Israel does these things. Therefore, it's called the book of Leviticus. If you'll remember with me, Genesis, the book of Genesis covered 2,300 years of history. All right, the first 10 chapters or the first 11 chapters was 2,000 years. And then from the calling of Abraham to Joseph going into Egypt was only 300 years, but 2,300 years was covered in the book of Genesis. In the book of Exodus, we began with the captivity of the children of Israel in Egypt, which we know lasted 400 years. And at the end of the book of Exodus, we now are the children of Israel getting ready to go off and march out of Egypt into the wilderness where they're going to wander about for 40 years. So the book of Exodus covers 400 years. So 2,300 in Genesis, that's a lot of time. 400 years in Exodus, that's a lot of time. Do you know how much time is covered in the book of Leviticus? All right, that's our next sentence here. Leviticus covers a period of 50 days. 50 days. 27 chapters. In fact, even more than that, because we need to include the first 10 chapters of Numbers, the book after it. And all that is just happens in 50 days. I'll show you how we know that. I've got the references there on the on that first line. Exodus chapter 40, verse 17. At the end of the book of Exodus. Chapter 40, verse 17. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. All right, if you look at that, it's kind of tricky because it says month, then year, then day. But if you look at that, that's 1-1-0-2. All right? The first month, the first day of the second year. Now, that date is talking about since the Exodus in Exodus chapter 12. It's been 1 year from Exodus chapter 12 to Exodus chapter 40. All right, after 400 years of bondage, chapter 12, they go free. And in chapter 40, it's only 1 year later since they've left Egypt. So it's 1-1-02 as far as the dates. Let's say January 1st of 02. That wasn't January, that wasn't their first month of the year. Abib was their first month, but if you get that down with me, it's the first day of the first month in the second year, 1-1-02. Then if you look to Numbers chapter 10, which is the book right after Leviticus, Numbers chapter 10 in verse number 11, chapter 10 verse number 11, tells us when they moved on from where they're at. They're at Mount Sinai. When Moses was given the instructions for how to build the tabernacle, and they built the tabernacle right there in Sinai at the foot of the mountain. They completed it on 1-1-02, and then in chapter 10 and verse 11, and it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year. All right? So now we're at 2-20-02. 1-1, January 1st, February 20th. If we can put it that way in the way we understand it. And there's 30 days in a month in the Jewish calendar, so it's an even 360 days. So doing all the numerics and all that kind of stuff, this is 50 days. 30 days of the first month, 20 days of the second month, from Exodus 40 to Numbers chapter 10 is only 50 days. So all the book of Leviticus, everything we read happens in less than 50 days. After 2,300 years of Genesis, over 400 years of Exodus, boy, God hits the brakes. And he gives us 50 days in Leviticus. Don't you know that information must be important? If God doesn't just gloss over it and speed over it, like I hate to say gloss and speed over it in Genesis and Exodus, but all that time covered in those 40 and 50 chapters of those books, and here in 27, it's about less than 50 days. God is doing something he wants us to pay attention to. Leviticus covers a period of 50 days from the setting up of the tabernacle at Sinai to the beginning of the journey through the wilderness. Notice, and I put this in bold because it's so important to get, it is the record of God cleansing his people. We're going to see this word clean or cleansing in just a moment. But Leviticus is a record of God cleansing his people. In Exodus, God got his people out of Egypt. That's what Exodus is all about. God got them out of Egypt. He called them. Moses led them. Pharaoh drove them. They got out. In Exodus, he got his people out of Egypt. In Leviticus, he gets Egypt out of his people. Think about that for a moment. I think you know what that means. In Exodus, he got his people out of Egypt, but in Leviticus, he got Egypt out of his people. You know why? Because the customs and the manners and the lifestyle that they were in there for 400 years of their bondage, they couldn't help but absorb some of that. It couldn't help but affect them. And now that God's got him out, he sits them there for 50 days during the book of Leviticus. He sits them there and teaches them and trains them about holiness, about worship, about ceremonies, about feasts, about sacrifices and offerings. He does that because he wants to clean all of that heathenism out of them before he can make them his people in his land. That's the same thing God does with us when we get saved. Somebody said this, that the book of Leviticus is to Genesis and Exodus what the epistles of Paul are to the Gospels. The Gospels introduce us to the way, the truth, and the life. To Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Everyone, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, ends with the scene of the cross and the resurrection. And then the Gospels build upon that. We get saved, and now the Gospels tell us how to live, what right doctrine is. All right, Genesis and Exodus tell us how God, why they were in Egypt, how God got them out. Then in Leviticus, it's like the epistles, now God is telling them how to live. How to honor Him, how to glorify Him, how to worship Him. The sacrifices, notice this long list of things at the end of this paragraph. The sacrifices, ceremonies, rituals, diets, instructions, washings, convocations, holy days, observances, conditions, and warnings. Yes, that's why the book of Leviticus seems so tedious to us. Because it's about all these things. Why is God telling them they can't do this? You know, all these things about you can eat this and you can't eat that if it's got cloven feet or it's got this, a split tongue or split toes, all that kind. You know, all that says is like, God was separating them from the people from whom they'd just come out of. He's told them, I want you different in your diet. I want you different in your clothing. I want you different in the length of your hair. I want you different in the way you trim your beard. All that stuff means so little to us supposedly right now, but all of it had a purpose. God is making them not like the Egyptians. Unlike the people He has called, the heathen He's called them out from. If there were to be a book of Leviticus written today, and there never would be, it would be written in 22nd century or 20, wherever we're at in our day right now. And it would be about the lifestyles of the world right now and how Christians ought not dress like this, talk like that, wear their hair like this, act like that. It would be all more pertinent for you and I for what? But you know what most Christians would do? They'd throw it out there and say, nobody's got the right to tell me how to live. Nobody's going to tell me how to dress. Nobody's going to tell me where I can go or where I can't go. God gave Leviticus to the Jews for that very reason. To show them, I want you to be holy. I want you to be clean. You've been infiltrated for 400 years. Look at chapter 24, I think it is. Yeah. Chapter 20. Let me finish this last line here. The ceremonies, rituals, diets, all that, warnings, were all intended, the word that we need to fill in, were all intended to purge. P-U-R-G-E. To purge the ways of the heathen out of the people of God. To purge the ways of the heathen out of the people of God. God has redeemed them. Now He wants to revive them. He wants them to have life. And the only way they're going to... That'll give you life. The only way they're going to have... Is the battery dying? No? Okay. He pushed it up with his Bible. That's good. He's using his Bible back there. I'm glad he didn't say I fell asleep on my elbow. The only way that God can make those people His people is now getting the ways of the heathen out of them. That's what Leviticus is all about. Look at chapter 24. Remember, they've been in Egypt for 400 years. Now in chapter 24 and verse 10, notice what it says. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Deberi of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring him forth that hath cursed without the camp. Let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. All right? He was stoned not because he was the son of an Israelitish woman. And his father or grandfather was an Egyptian. He was stoned because he blasphemed the Lord. But the problem here is that word Israelitish, notice it's three times in verse number 10, twice in verse 10 and once in verse 11. That's the only times in all the Bible the word Israelitish appears. You read Israel all the time. What is Israelitish? That's God's way of saying that this is a woman, the Bible says, the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian. This woman from the tribe of Dan had married an Egyptian while in the bondage. And this young man had learned the ways of the Egyptians. And now as they're come out, now he doesn't care about the God Jehovah. He doesn't care about the God of Israel. This son of an Israelitish, which means she's from Israel, but she's Israelitish more than she's Israel. A lot of folks say, I'm Christian. Well, they're Christianish. Not really Christian. They know the vocabulary. They knew the words. They know what to do. They know how to behave. They know how to act. But really in their heart, they're not Christian. This was an Israelitish woman, and her son blasphemed God. God wants to get that out of his children. He wants to get that out of the children of Israel so that they can truly worship Him and be ready to enter into the promised land. He's wanting to purge His people. Notice the next paragraph here in our notes. The book of Leviticus begins by introducing five offerings. You're familiar with those. Again, as we begin reading the book of Leviticus in chapter 1, we read about the burnt offering. In chapter 2, we read about the meat offering. And we wonder, and we don't have time to go through these, but all of these picture some aspect of Jesus Christ. They're all prophecies or foreshadowing of the Lord. If we were studying the book of Leviticus, we'd have more time to go into that. Chapter 3 is the peace offering. Chapter 4 is the sin offering. Chapter 5 is the trespass offering. These five offerings are what begins the book of Leviticus. And the book draws to a close by instituting seven feasts. All in chapter 3, we read about the Passover feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Atonement Feast, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. All those are in chapter 20. So the book starts with the offerings and ends with the feasts. Now again, that sounds boring, dull. What's the point? Well, here's the point. The offerings at the beginning of the book taught the people how to get right. And I put that in capital letters, so you can put get in capital letters. The offerings taught them how to get right. A sin offering, a trespass offering, a peace offering, making peace with God. The offerings taught them how to get right. The feast in chapter 23 taught them how to keep right. How to keep right. They began with the offerings, getting right with God. They end the book basically in chapter 23. There's still a couple chapters left, but the end, it's all of the feast days on how to stay right, how to keep right with God. Again, Leviticus, they're coming out of Egypt. God's trying to purge them. He introduces a way of worship to them. The tabernacle now has been built. You'll notice, if you didn't, this is in our notes, but in the book of Exodus at the end, God is speaking to Moses from the top of Mount Sinai. He went up to Mount Sinai to get the commandments. It's on top of Mount Sinai that he got the instructions for the pieces of furniture and for the building of the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle was completed in Exodus chapter 40, then Leviticus chapter 1 verse 1 says, "And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation." Where did he speak? Out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Where did God speak? Not on Mount Sinai. He's not thundering anymore on top of the mountain. Now he's speaking down in the place of worship. Brother Tom, we were just talking about this before church. That friend of yours saying, "I can worship God anywhere I want to. You can go up to the top of Mount Sinai." But you know where God speaks now? In the tabernacle of his congregation. God's not out on the golf course on Sunday morning. God's not on the lake on Sunday morning. You know where God is? He's in his house. He's in the church. He's speaking in the midst of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's where God's going to speak to people. People disdain the church and think it's not that. Leviticus is showing us that when he redeemed his people and brought them out and they're getting right with God, he's speaking in the congregation. The key verses in Leviticus are chapter 11, verse 44 and 45, two verses. And these verses say, "For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves." The word sanctify means set apart. You've come out of Egypt. Set aside the clothing of the Egyptians. No longer speak in the tongue of the Egyptians. Don't desire and long for the things of Egypt. You know one of the problems of Israel is going to be in the book of Numbers? After Leviticus and after they start that, they're going to say, "All that we were back in Egypt. All where we were back when we could eat of the onions and the leeks and the garlic and all that." Their imaginations run off with that. They weren't eating freely of all that stuff back there. But as they get out in the wilderness and they're hungry and they're thirsty, "Oh, we wish we were back in Egypt." God is trying to purge them from that in the book of Leviticus. And he judges them for that whining and murmuring and complaining in the book of Numbers, as we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So he says, "I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify, set apart yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." That's what the book of Leviticus is all about, making his people holy. Sanctifying themselves. "Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." You know what the problem with people today is? The same problem it was with the Jews back then. They wanted happiness, not holiness. Well, God wants me to be happy. No, God wants you to be holy. Now, holiness doesn't mean you look like the neighbor's donkey with a long face looking over the thing. You know, somebody said, some little girl said, that donkey looks like grandpa. Just always depressed and always down and always disheartened. And grandpa was a Christian. It shouldn't be that way. Holiness doesn't mean we walk around long face. You can have happiness. In fact, you can really have happiness better when you have holiness than when you don't. But today's mentality is about church and everything. Oh, make me happy. I want to be happy. God says, I want you to be holy. I've separated you to myself. I want you to sanctify. I want you to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. We'll not take the time, but you notice the references. Chapter 19 in Leviticus verse 2. Chapter 20 and verse 26. Two more times in Leviticus where God basically says this same thing. Be holy, because I am holy. And that's repeated in 1 Peter. 1 Peter says, as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, where is that written? All the way back in Leviticus. Peter was quoting it all the way over in the New Testament, applying it to the church. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So that is the key verse in the book of Leviticus. That is the theme. God brought His people out of Egypt. Now He institutes some ordinances and some commandments and some dietary laws and all that because He wants them to be different from the Egyptians they came out from. Key words and phrases in Leviticus, and again, this builds upon what we're looking at already to give us the thrust of the book of Leviticus. The words unclean and uncleanness. Again, here's where they start. They've been brought out of Egypt. They've been redeemed. But now they need to sanctify themselves. They need to be holy. They're unclean. Those two words, and you'll see this at the end of this short little paragraph, all of the above words appear in Leviticus more than any other book in the Bible. Alright, this word unclean or uncleanness appears 128 times in the book of Leviticus. That's a lot of times in 27 chapters. 128 times the word unclean or unclean, and that's more than any other book in the Bible. Leviticus is showing us that when God brought His people out, when He redeemed them, He redeemed them, but they were dirty. They were unclean. They needed cleaned up. That's the same thing that happened when you got saved. You got saved, your sins were forgiven, but boy, you needed to clean up. You know, the common phrase of our day is simply this, well, go to the church of your choice. Come as you are. And I'd say here at Bible Baptist Church, we want everybody to come as they are. But we want them to leave different. And the problem with most churches is the people come in and go out the same way. They come in, they get entertained, they get their ears tickled. There's no Bible preaching, there's no mention of sin, no mention of redemption, no mention of heaven and hell. They just get practical things about how to live this life and how to live stress-free and how to live and cope and share and all that kind of stuff. And they don't get the truth of the Word of God, and they go out not changed. If you go out not changed, there's no purpose. If you come in unclean and you walk in unclean, what's the purpose? What's the reason for it? We ought to go out different than how we came in. So God took His people out of Egypt, and now they're unclean. Notice second, the words clean, cleanse. Cleansed, cleansing appear 71 times in the book of Leviticus. Again, more than any other book in the Bible. That's what Leviticus is about. You're saved, you're redeemed. You're a child of God, hallelujah. Clean up. Look right, act right, talk right. Watch the right things, listen to the right stuff. It does matter how you live. Again, the common thought of our day is it doesn't matter. As long as you go to church on Sunday, show up, do your time, everything's fine. Do what you want to other than that. The grace of God is sufficient to cover. They call it the grace doctrine of our day, and I'm all for grace. But they've twisted the grace doctrine by simply saying this, live any way you want to, God's grace is sufficient to cover it. But God doesn't say that. He doesn't say live any way. He said, be holy, for I'm holy. He said, sanctify yourself. So God recognizes our uncleanness, and He wants to cleanse us. In Leviticus, it's ceremonially. All right, they have to go in and they have to cleanse themselves. The washing of water with their hands before they worship God. The different body parts, the things, all that stuff with the lepers you read about. Chapters 11, I think, 12 and 13. All it is all about cleansing. It's taking an unclean person and making them clean. Number three, the third one down, the word atonement. That's how God makes us clean. At-one-ment, atonement. They were to lay their hands on the goat. They were to lay their hands on the sacrifice. And that animal would bear their sins and they would slit its throat and they'd make it as a sin or trespass offering. And that they would transfer their sins to that animal so that they could have peace with God. And what a beautiful picture that is of Jesus Christ, who came to be our atonement lamb, who came to bear our sins. The word atonement appears 49 times in the book of Leviticus, more than any other book in the Bible. Because that's how we go from being unclean to being clean, by the atonement. Somebody says, well, I'll turn over a new leaf. That'll last you maybe 6 months. You know, I'll do this, I'll go to this meeting or that meeting, AA, this thing, that thing. Well, that's good, that helps some people. But it doesn't change you from the inside. The atonement changes from the inside. That's what takes an unclean person and makes them clean. The word atonement, the next word is the word blood. It appears 88 times, more than any other book in the Bible. And the blood shall make an atonement for their souls. The life of the flesh is in the blood. It's the blood that makes atonement. The blood of bulls and goats, Hebrews tells us, couldn't wash away sin, but it covered sin until Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and died on the cross. And it's the blood now that takes us from being unclean and makes us clean. All my righteousness are his filthy rags, but the blood of Christ makes us clean. God has taken his people out of Egypt. Now he's trying to get Egypt out of his people. The word holy appears 94 times in the book of Leviticus. 94 times. More times in Leviticus than any other book in the Bible. Psalms, it's there a lot in Psalms. The word holy appears a lot in Psalms, but not near as many as it does in Leviticus. Why? God is trying to make his unclean people clean, atoned by the blood, and holy. That's what Leviticus, before we get to Numbers, before they get to the promised land, while they're in their journey, God is trying to cleanse them. We're in our journey right now. We were ruined, we've been redeemed. God is trying to revive us now and work in our hearts and lives to make us clean and fit for the promised land. We're getting into the promised land one way or the other, but you'd be better getting there clean than being unclean. Again, all these words that we've just looked at appear in Leviticus more than any other book in the Bible. That's why we know the theme of Leviticus is God cleaning up his people. He's redeemed them, but now he wants them to be different. Here's some key phrases also in the book of Leviticus. The phrase, I am the Lord, 24 times, and I am the Lord your God, 21 times, if you're quick on your math, appear 45 times. I am the Lord. I am the Lord your God. Notice in our key verses, 11:44, for I am the Lord your God, verse 45, for I am the Lord. Those are two key phrases in the book of Leviticus. We need to remember, we need to keep before our eyes that God is the Lord. He is our God. That's the only way we're going to sanctify ourselves. The only way we're going to be holy in this wicked, sinful world. Where can you go? Besides church and hopefully your home, where else can you go that you don't get dirty? There's nowhere else you can go, let's be honest. You go shopping at the store, you're going to see things you didn't want to see. We went to one of the girls had a meeting at her public school. I haven't been in a public school in a long time. And I sat down there, I just felt like Ezekiel saying, I sat astonished. At the people around there and the dress styles and the language and the behavior and all that. It's just, that's a different group out there. I'm not used to that. I'm used to church people. I'm used to my house. I'm not used to just out in society like that. And the Lord is trying to get them to recognize, I am the Lord. Therefore, you behave different. You act different. You look different. Hopefully, many times we even smell different. The phrase, the Lord spake, saying, appears 34 times. When you're reading through Leviticus next time, and I I perused, I guess is the right word, all 27 chapters in the last couple days and just looked through there and saw, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying. I think 33 of those 34 times it's the Lord spake unto Moses. The other time is the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron saying. So the words of Leviticus are the words of God. Now all the Bible is the word of God, but notice what I mean. Look at chapter 1 verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation saying. All right, so verse 2 is God speaking. Here's what he's saying to Moses. He says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice, God is speaking these words to Moses. I put it this way in our notes here. You know that you've seen or you have a red letter Bible. And that is that in the New Testament, all the words that are spoken by Jesus are in red letters. Now, nothing wrong with that. That's fine. It kind of emphasizes. And you see that in the Gospels because obviously after the book of Acts, the Lord doesn't speak very often. Now, he speaks in Acts chapter 1. He speaks again in Acts chapter 9. Paul records it later in chapter 22 and 26. But really, it's in the Gospels. But all the words of Jesus spoken by him are read. If you were to take that principle to the book of Leviticus and make all the words that were spoken verbatim, all the words that were spoken straight out of the mouth of God, 95% of the book of Leviticus would be red letter. Chapters 1 to 6, I think it is, all would be red. Because chapter 1, verse 1 would be black. Because it says, the Lord called unto Moses. But starting in verse 2, the rest of chapter 1 is all going to be red letter because it's all God speaking. Now you know what I mean? When we're reading Genesis, we're reading and Joseph did that and Jacob did that and Abraham did that. That's not God speaking. That's Moses recording historically what happened. But here, Leviticus is 95% of what's written there is God speaking word for word and Moses recording it. That's how he's going to purge his people. That's how he's going to make them holy. Through his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119 verse 9. By the washing of the water of the word. Ephesians chapter 5. So God in Leviticus, what's the purpose of Leviticus? God is trying to cleanse his people, purge them, make them holy, make them fit to worship him. Because he is holy, so he wants them to be holy. You know what our life is spent doing? I've been saved 42 years. 43. I've been saved 43 years. You know what my life has been spent doing? Trying to be holy. Can I tell you this? I'm not. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. The standard, the bar is way up here to be as holy as God. I'm not. But you know where I am? I'm closer to that than I was 43 years ago. I'm closer to that than I was 10 years ago. I'm closer to that than I was. That's what we're supposed to be doing, getting closer to God's standard and to that bar. We'll never attain it. We'll never reach that. But the higher you send the bar, the higher you attain. You set the bar low, you might reach it, but what have you accomplished? You set the bar high. God says, be holy, for I am holy. So the book of Leviticus is all about God's people coming out of Egypt, getting purged and cleaned by all these ceremonies and laws and diets and restrictions and clothing and all that so they can be known as God's people. Finally, an overview of the book of Leviticus. A very simple outline. And that is that chapters 1 to 10 talk about the way to God. The way to God. For those Jewish people coming out of Egypt, the way to God was through the burnt offering, through the meat offering, through the peace offering, through the sin offering, through the trespass. And again, if we were studying Leviticus, each one of those five different offerings pictures Christ in his humanity, in his service, in his redemption, in his resurrection, in his power. Each of those offerings foreshadows that. And it's those offerings that were the way to God. That's how they got to God back then. Thank God we get them through very simply through one person that fulfilled all four of those sacrifices. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 1 to 10 were the way to God. Chapters 11 to 20 are the walk with God. Chapters 11 through 20, the walk with God. That's where we read about the dietary restrictions. We read about the washing. A woman during childbirth and shortly thereafter. All of these restrictions to make Israel different from the Egyptians. Again, some of those things we read, well, you're not necessarily supposed to apply that to your life right now. But God was applying it to them to make them different from the Egyptian people they just came out of. So He gave them some very unusual laws and commands. The walk with God. Number three, the worship of God. Chapters 21 to 23. The worship of God. That's where you read about the priests in the tabernacle and their service to God and the pomegranates and all those things that, again, we just think, huh? Well, you don't worry about understanding it all. Just know that when you start the way to God, then the walk with God, then the worship of God, we're building upon each one. And then finally, chapters 24 to 27, the witness to God. Chapters 24 to 27, the witness. Their lives now are a witness and a testimony that God has purged them. Yes, it seems rough. They take that son of an Israelitish woman, his mother from the tribe of Dan, his father's an Egyptian, and they stone him for blasphemy. Aren't you glad we don't do that today? I wouldn't have lived to getting saved when I was 18 years old if we stoned blasphemers. Or maybe I would have because I would have known not to blaspheme because I knew the punishment was you got stoned to death. I don't know. But I'm just glad that we don't do it today. But they did then because God was trying to purge His people coming out of Egypt. And it takes some very drastic measures sometimes to get Egypt out of God's people. Sometimes it takes some very drastic measures for God in our lives to get the world out of us. He's called us out of the world. He said, sanctify yourselves, I'm the Lord your God. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. And then sometimes He has to work in some very drastic and unusual ways to get us unlike the world that we live in. Don't make Him have to do that. Don't make Him have to do hard things. Just willingly do those things. So the way, the walk, the worship, and the witness. The book of Leviticus. I hope that our study tonight kind of whets your appetite a little bit or gives you a different outlook on that book. And the next time when you finish Genesis and you get to Exodus chapter 40 and you turn the page and see Leviticus, you don't groan. You don't say, oh no, you say, wait a minute, I remember. Where's my notes? Where's my page from that Bible study Wednesday night? I hope that'll help us. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, tonight we do thank You for the book of Leviticus. Lord, I pray that maybe there's someone